A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father God has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." So they said to him, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord. Is it too early for a quiz?
No.
Father says no. So here's one. It's a quick one. Two questions. Question one. Our first reading remembers how God rained down food onto the hungry Israelites as they wandered through the desert. But the passage doesn't use the name we have assigned to that miraculous substance. What do we call it? It was in the gospel. The word was in the gospel. Manna. Thank you. Manna from heaven. Question two. What does manna have in common with a good old-fashioned American hot dog? Okay, here's the answer. If you really knew what was in it, you'd be less enthusiastic about the first bite. Here's what we just heard from the book of Exodus. On seeing it, the Israelites asked one another, "What is this?" The word manna can legitimately be translated into English as, "What is this?" For more than 100 years now, historians and scripture scholars have theorized that what the Israelites actually found and made into their bread was, and here I'm quoting the Smithsonian magazine, so it must be true, the sweet-tasting secretion of a kind of plant lice that infected certain shrubs in the desert. Hooves and snouts in the hot dogs, bug juice in the manna. But it made great food. As if God was saying to his people, "It's already been provided for you. Just look around. There it is. Take it. Eat it." And it was good. Now let's jump to what Jesus has to say in the gospel today. Remember last Sunday's gospel, where the crowds followed Jesus after seeing all the healings, followed him into the desert, and Jesus blessed the 5 loaves, the 2 fish, and suddenly the multitude was fed. He became for them not just the miraculous healer, but also the provider of their journey bread, of their food. Today's gospel comes right after that scene, and Jesus has again gone off away from the crowd, and again they follow him. They want more food. It's as if they're saying, could you do that fish sandwich thing again? Jesus calls them out on this, though. He's asking, why get excited? Why spend your energy on food that sustains you for just a few hours? I am offering you the nourishment that will bring you into eternity, into the life of God. And John writes, so they said to him, what can we do to accomplish the works of God? It's a very good question, but it's the wrong question right there. We might rephrase the question as, what must we do to earn eternal life? How can we do what God wants us to do? Again, a very good question, but not right there. And Jesus very gently corrects them on the short-sightedness of their question with his answer. Believe in the one he sent. In other words, you must first know me and trust in me. Come into full relationship with me. Then everything else will follow. But they still don't really understand. They ask for more signs, more healings, more fish sandwiches. Instead, Jesus, yet again, invites them into relationship. And he makes a tremendous promise. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Never hunger nor thirst. Entrust everything to the eternal Christ, and nothing of this passing life need be a concern anymore. A tremendous promise. Only then, in that relationship, can we really be a fruitful part of Christ's continuing mission in this broken world. I want you to look at one key phrase in the second reading today. Here's what we just heard. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. That is not how you learned Christ. That is not how you learned Christ. It doesn't say that's not how you learned about Christ. It's learning Christ, entering into relationship with Christ. Paul and his followers got it. John got it. It's not how well we know stories about Jesus. It's about how fully we enter into deep, personal, intimate relationship with the incarnate and eternal God. As Catholics, we're part of an incredibly rich tradition, fruitful, truth-laden. We try to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. But it's also a tragic truth that even within this richness and complexity of our tradition, it's possible that we can miss the point, just like the crowds following Jesus. We can know a lot about Jesus, the Christ, without ever dropping our defenses and allowing ourselves to know him. We can be, as folks in the ministerial circles say, we can be sacramentalized, that is, go through all the rituals, without ever being evangelized, without ever finding the deep joy of actually allowing God to lead us in every aspect of our lives. How you doing in that regard? I know I'm still struggling. It's a lifetime's work. As a worldwide church, we are trying to get better at helping one another come into that deep relationship. In your bulletin this week, there's a flyer about the next offering of the Alpha Course here. It's a very good way to start toward that relationship if you feel like you're coming up a little short. It's a great way to form deeper community with the people we are sharing this worship space with right now. Please read that flyer over carefully and prayerfully, and consider allowing yourself, consider inviting a friend or family member into that very rich experience. But as importantly, in a few minutes, when we all come forward in the communion procession, and by the way, we don't say this enough, but if you are not Catholic, you are still welcome in the communion procession for a blessing. Just come forward like this. When we all process together, offer this prayer to leave behind anything you might think you know about relationship with God in order to make room in yourself for a more personal, intimate experience of that relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Drop your defenses, open your hearts, and then watch what Christ does this week with you.